Hi there, and thanks for joining us for today's Broncos Fan Forum live call. I'm your host, Chris Hall, for the next 45 minutes, and happy to be joined by Matt Russell, Director of Player Personnel, and of course, John Elway, Executive Vice President of Football Operations here for the Denver Broncos. For the next 45 minutes or hour or so, we're going to take questions from season ticket holders and, for the first time, Facebook fans. So thanks so much for calling in. And remember, if you do want to ask a question, just press star 3, and that way we can get you through and hopefully get you on with Matt and John. Guys, we're getting ready for a couple of calls to filter in here, I guess. Matt, let me start with you. It's been, it seems like such a long time since free agency started and ended and mini camps and OTAs, and now we're this close to finally seeing this football team play. How excited are you and is your department for the season to finally get here?
Well, I'm extremely excited. I think we all are. I think as a staff, you're ready to see the guys take live bullets, and you've done the best you can through the draft and free agency to put together a good football team, and we're excited about the season. We're excited to get going and playing regular season games.
John, I guess I think for just the second time in this organization's history, the entire draft class made this roster this year, the 53-man roster. As someone who was involved in that from start to finish, you and your staff, how does it feel to know that the guys you originally saw, you looked at, are part of this team as you get ready for Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, we're excited about it. I think that it's been the philosophy that we knew we had to be good in the draft and select not only good football players but good people. And I think that, you know, the thing is, that the good thing is if the draft picks are still here, we see that there's potential. By no means are they all pro at this point in time, but we see potential in all the draft picks, which is exciting. And so that means they got a chance to get better, which in the long run is going to make us better as a football team.
Matt, if you look at the calendar year, what is this time of year like for you guys now that the roster is set, the draft is far away, but you guys are still working here every day? What are you guys kind of doing day-to-day as the players are getting ready for football games?
We're always evaluating players. We're constantly watching tape, evaluating pro players. For me personally, I'll hit the road next week and start the college side of things for me, and I'll make an effort to try to hit 25 schools roughly between now and Thanksgiving. And so my week will be split up between pro and college. And when I'm gone, Keith Kidd, our pro director, will be here, and he'll continue to grind on pro tape and can, you know, constantly continue to evaluate guys on other teams. And we're always looking to, you know, continue to add and get better.
Always looking. It truly never ends. We want to thank all of you for calling in. Again, just hit star 3 if you'd like to ask a question. Our first question comes from the Bronco lady. She's calling in. She's been a season ticket holder since 1986. She has a question for John. Bronco lady, go ahead.
John, I just want to say that what you've done for us so far in the front office has certainly enhanced, at least in my opinion, you being the greatest to ever play. You've just done a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I would like to know if you guys know what the record is for sacks by a defense, because I think Doom and Gloom plus Derek Wolf might set the new record.
Well, we're always looking to set those records. I think we had 41 sacks last year. I don't know offhand exactly what the record is, but I think one of the most important things is, as you said, with Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil in the corner, coming off the corner, the best pass defense is a pass rush. And if you can get the quarterback out of sync and make him uncomfortable back there, it makes it that much easier tougher for him to make accurate throws. And so we're excited about the pass rush with Derek Wolf coming in, going to play the left end position. We'll also be in pass rush situations. And so and Robert Ayers had a good camp that also athletically can really rush the passer. So we feel that's one of the strongest areas on our defensive side is the ability to get after the quarterback, which in the long run makes us that much better in the secondary, which we think we've upgraded this offseason and have seen that come to fruition in the preseason.
Bronco lady, thanks so much for calling. And if any of you made it out to training camp this year, you saw that the Broncos did break a fan attendance record this year at camp. And this next question comes from Dwayne. Dwayne's been a season ticket holder for 20 years, calling from here in Denver. Dwayne, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you for having the fan forum. It's awesome. As a member of the quarterback club, I appreciate John having us on this show once a year. And we just do anything to make the fans get into it. And my question was, is there anything that we could do as fans in the stands, John, to bring back the excitement when you were playing in our home field advantage?
Well, you know, I think that the crowd noise is always there, and obviously there's a little bit of a different feel in Sports Authority than there was the old Mile High. But I think that really comes down to really us as a football team and an organization to be able to really make it an emphasis that when we do play at home, that we have to win those games at home, because number one of the home field advantage, plus with the great fan base that we have, as you said, back in the 80s and 90s, we thought we could beat anybody at home. And I think we got to get that mentality back, especially with the schedule that we have this year. We have three of the first four at home, especially, you know, the opener with Pittsburgh, then Houston and the Raiders in weeks three and four. So we have to get off to a quick start. But it's a huge benefit for us to be able to play at Mile High and play at Mile High. And so, you know, hopefully we'll take advantage of that this year, do some new no-huddle stuff. But really the bottom line is, back when we were winning football games at home as we were winning in the fourth quarter, and that's what we have to do again this year.
Our next caller is Travis from Phoenix. Travis, thanks so much for calling. We're going to have you ask Matt Russell your question about one of the Bronco rookies.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really enjoyed the draft, but in particular it was Ronnie Hillman, the speed back, you know, y'all are bringing in. And, you know, most people are excited about Peyton Manning, but, you know, this is a move that really excited me, you know, because seeing Darren Sproles, you know, take us apart for so many years, and backs like him and Reggie Bush, I wanted to see, you know, how you guys think you're going to utilize him this year.
Yeah, Ronnie's an interesting guy. He broke all the Marshall Faulk records at San Diego State. He's an electric guy. Guys like that are incredibly beneficial for your offense because it creates so many mismatches when you're facing defenses. A guy like Ronnie, he's exciting when he touches the ball. He can catch the ball. He's very electric running the ball. He makes defensive coordinators worry when they face a guy like that. I think it's important in our division that we have a guy like that. We've got a great diverse backfield. We've got some bigger backs that can pound it up inside. And then you've got the smaller backs who, you know, you've got a home run threat every time they touch the ball. So a guy like Ronnie, he's had a good camp. He played very well against Arizona, and we're excited to have him. He's going to help us this year and contribute.
We're going to go ahead and stick with players in that position group. Remember, if you want to ask a question, just hit *3 to get put into the queue. Our next question comes from Dan with another question about the backs. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I was just wondering how did you figure out getting rid of Jeremiah Johnson and instead of No-Show? I mean, I thought they...
Well, I don't know if you got cut off or not, but I think the question is why No-Show instead of Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah is still on our team. He is on our practice squad. And Jeremiah is a guy that this is his third year on the practice squad, but a guy that's continued to improve, you know, year in and year out. Now Jeremiah, with the evaluation that we had, we just didn't feel like he was quite there yet, especially in third down. He's got to get better with protections. Whereas No'Shawn is a guy that is very good in third down, does a great job in protection, and as we saw the last couple of weeks, No'Shawn is running with much more patience and being able to pick his holes and run the ball more effective than he has in the past. And his knee is finally healthy. So we really thought that that No'Shawn had really started to prove himself, is really starting to take strides, is really starting to mature as a back. And plus, he is so invaluable on third down because of his ability not only to run routes out of the backfield on third down, but also does a tremendous job in protections and knowing the right guy to pick up and then having the ability to pick him up or whoever his responsibility is. And so that's kind of one of those things that goes unsung with a running back, is the importance on third down and the ability to pick up the blitz.
More than 6,000 of you have joined us for this call this afternoon. Thanks so much. We want to go down to Texas and talk to Mike, who's been a big Bronco fan for 30 years. Mike, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing, John? The question I have is, how much confidence do you have in our secondary? because, you know, last year we gave up a lot of points against some great quarterbacks such as Brady, Rodgers, and Stafford. And this year, you know, our secondary faces some more great quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and even second-year quarterback Cam Newton.
Well, and I think that was one of our emphases coming out of last season. We knew that we struggled against teams that spread us out. And so it was important for us to go into this offseason and trying to get some more depth back there in the secondary. We picked up Mike Adams at safety from Cleveland, who is a veteran and had some great leadership qualities back there. Tracy Porter at right corner from New Orleans has come in and had a great camp. We're real excited about Tracy. Chris Harris was a CFA last year that really did a tremendous job on third downs, a physical guy that continues to get better, plus Champ is Champ. And then we have Tony Carter, who's come in and a speedster with great cover skills. And then Omar Bolden, who we took in the fourth round, has continued to gain that experience and did a tremendous job in the return game. Quentin Carter comes back at safety. And then we also picked up Jim Leonard as a safety with Raheem Moore, who has made tremendous strides this offseason in living up to the potential that he has as that second-round pick that he was last year. So we feel like we're much better in the secondary, much better cover guys with safeties that do a good job of reading quarterbacks. And with Jack Del Rio's defense, the safeties are more involved in the defense this year. So the instincts that they have will be able to take advantage of it. So we're thrilled about the secondary, plus if we can – I talked about earlier, with the rush that we have, the guys that can rush the passer, we feel like we have a pretty good combination there. Anytime you go up against a Brees, Brady, those type of quarterbacks, even Ben Roethlisberger the first week, you have to be able to get after them, and you also have to cover them up. So we've got our hands full, but feel like we're more prepared this year to do that than last.
Mike, thanks so much for calling. Again, if you want to ask Matt or John a question, just hit *3 on your phone. Our next call comes from Kevin in New York, wants to talk to you guys about the tight ends. Kevin, go ahead.
Hi, John. Hi, Matt. I just wanted to ask, how did you like the performance of the tight ends so far in the preseason? I thought they looked pretty good, and with Peyton throwing the ball, I thought they looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, we feel real good about the tight end position. We added both Dreesen and Tammy. Both of them have a little bit different skill set. You get a good blocker out of Dreesen. He's also got the ability to run routes. Tammy is a little bit smaller. Very good receiver, very good threat out of the backfield. He's familiar with Peyton. And those two hook up quite a bit. So hopefully both those guys will have big years for us. And then also we've got Julius. He's a bit unproven right now. Had a limited football background in college. We took him based on what we felt like he could become. And he is on this roster because we feel very confident in his ability, both as a blocker and as a receiver. He's a big target down the field. Those guys are a luxury to have in the red zone because you can just throw it up there and they'll go get it. So Julius is continuing to heal. His health is getting better and better by the day. But as a group, the three of them, I think, are threatening to defenses, and I think they're going to be a great benefit to us going into season.
We're going to another. We've hit Texas. We've hit New York. Now we're going to go to Mark, who's in Albuquerque. Mark, another question for Matt. Mark, thanks for calling in. Go ahead with your question.
How are you guys doing, Mr. Elway? I just wanted to say you guys had a great offseason. And the question I had was actually about Knowshon Moreno, but it seemed like you answered that question already. My question was, how do you feel about the backup quarterback position with Caleb Haney and Osweiler? Do you feel comfortable that if something was to happen to Manning, are you comfortable with Haney playing a few games or so?
Well, first of all, I'm knocking on my head because I like to knock on wood and the fact that nothing would happen to Peyton. I think that the thing that you don't want to do is lose your starting quarterback, especially with the caliber of a Peyton Manning. But I think if you look at our backup quarterbacks, whether it be Caleb or Brock, that they both had good camps. They're both different style quarterbacks. I think if you look at Brock, he's a very young, athletic, and really has a tremendous amount of upside, whereas Caleb has got the experience, and so we just thought that the combination of having the youth that is still in the learning process with Caleb there to be able to you know, use his experience that he's gained over the 4 years, that we had a pretty good combination if something were to happen to Peyton. And so we'll see how this week goes and see who's going to be the guy that really, because we'll probably only have two quarterbacks that are active on the 46 going into Sunday and Sunday's game. And so we'll see how this week goes and see, you know, which direction we go. But we think that we have high aspirations for Brock in the future. And, you know, we feel like he's in a good position learning under Peyton. And, you know, once we cross that bridge, we feel great about what Brock's got to do.
Happy to welcome our next caller, who's 90 years old and has been a season ticket holder since 1970. Margaret was on the call a week ago with Willis McGahee, Eric Decker, and Joel Dreesen. Margaret, welcome back. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. My question is that talking to Dreesen, he said it was harder to play against the 3-4 defense than the 4-3, and yet we are so set with the 4-3. Is there any way to scramble that up during the season, or would that completely mess up the defense?
Well, thanks for calling in, Margaret. It's good to have you here. The difference in those two defenses is significant. In a 3-4, and probably one of the things that Joel was referencing is you've got bigger outside linebackers. You've got more physical outside linebackers that they're matched up with. It's a defense really designed to stop the run, and you want to stop it with seven guys and play cover two behind it, which means your safeties are split deep and you're not rotating a safety down to bring an eighth man down in the box. It makes it hard for quarterbacks to throw against cover two, and if you have the guys, the right personnel, to stop the run with seven, that's what really makes the 3-4 defense beneficial. Now, in terms of what we're doing, to put your mind at peace a little bit, Jack Del Rio really doesn't believe in being exclusively 4-3 or 3-4. We're going to match up the best we can week in and week out with the players we've got on our team. Now, if that's 3-4 one week, we might show some 3-4. It might be 4-3 the next week, but it's a very flexible defense that really works well with the players that you have on your team. You don't want to force players into roles that they're uncomfortable with or physically they can't do. So Jack is really good about taking the player, accentuating his strengths, and playing whatever we feel like is going to stop that team in any given week.
Margaret, thanks again for calling. Again, if you guys want to call in and ask these guys a question, just hit *3 on your phone. Our next question comes from Kent in Alamosa. He's been a season ticket holder for 30 years. Broncos just put out the depth chart, and guys, Kent wants to ask you a couple questions about the depth chart. Kent, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, congratulations, John. I think that was probably one of the, not only the most exciting news for Bronco fans, but that was one of the best moves ever made in NFL, was bringing Peyton to us. So thanks a lot for that. And secondly, I get on the computer every day to follow you guys. This morning I got on, and the headlines were that Knowshon had taken the number two spot over the other two RBs, and that Joel had taken the top tight end spot. I just wondered what the thoughts on that, as far as going through the season, the first game, you know, whatever it happens to be. How we're going to use him, what's going to happen, and are we doing a lot of two-man tight end sets, or what are we doing?
I guess you're referencing Joel Dreesen being the number one tight end, and he's been the number one tight end for training camp, and then with Knowshon moving up the depth chart, and I will say this about depth charts is, you know, they're really kind of orders that you put them in. When you go into a football game on Sunday afternoon and you go in with 46 guys, every one of those 46 guys is going to have a role. So whether you're in there or call the starter or you're a backup, everybody that goes into that game, unless you're hopefully the backup quarterback, everyone else is going to be involved in playing that football game. And that's where, you know, the depth chart is not necessarily who the next guy is. It can change the next week, depending on the team that we're playing, whether Knowshon be the second back in, but with McGahee being the first one, and then they're going to be rotating through as they get tired and they get gas, they're in and out. So you really have to look at the whole set of whether it be a tight end or whether it be the running backs. The only guys that do not change is the offensive linemen. Your five guys are going to be in there. for the whole game and throughout the year. Whereas offensively, and then the quarterback, where offensively, whether it be wideouts, running backs, tight ends, they all can they're all interchangeable within that position and relying on each other. Plus, you throw in the special teams value of each one of those positions too, where Lance Ball is tremendous on special teams, and Julius Thomas is going to have to be special on special teams as being the third time at tight end. Joel and Jacob Tammy will be involved in special teams, and so you have to throw in the special teams side of it. And that's why when you look at a depth chart, it's not necessarily who the next guy in. It's just a matter of how they're placed, and really not that important. Knowing that going into a game, everybody's going to be a part of the win.
Kent, thanks so much for calling. You're one of more than 7,000 people we now have participating on today's Broncos Fan Forum live call. Again, if you want to get in, just hit *3 on your phone to ask your question. We want to go to Steve in Denver, who's been a season ticket holder since 1969. Matt, Steve wants to ask you a question about Champ Bailey. Steve, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I want to see if maybe Mr. Bailey, he's been the cornerback for, 50 years now or so, just jokingly. What is his role going to play? Is he going to try and give a little more of work with the new people, the cornerbacks, the strong safeties? What might his role be? Might be after he might hang it up.
Well, I think a guy like Champ loves football. Champ wants to play as long as he can. We feel like Champ is still playing at a very high level. He's competitive. As players age, it happens to all of them, and there's really not been a big drop-off with Champ. He's still got the man cover skills that he had before. He's very good in zone. He's very smart. He's a playmaker for us. So Champ's role will continue to be what Champ's role has been for the last, I believe you said, 50 years. And so we're excited about having Champ, and as long as Champ wants to play, Champ will be here.
Steve, thanks for the call. Our next question comes from, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Shad, you're in Parker, and coming in as one of our Facebook fans, along with season ticket holders on this call. John, I think Shad wants to talk to you. Broncos have had a long tradition at safety. We want to stay in the secondary for a little while. Shad, go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Obviously, John, you played with a couple of the greatest ever with Atwater and Smith. Who do you see on the Broncos roster that is the hardest hitter? I think we kind of miss some of that intimidation up the middle. I know it's hard to get Hall of Fame type players back there all the time, but who do you see as a good potential hard knocker in the backfield? And then for Matt Russell, we got to turn those buffs around, man. We got to turn those buffs around. Thanks.
You didn't have to bring that up, did you?
Well, first of all, you're right. When you talk about Steve Atwater and Smith, as far as thumpers in the secondary, back in their day, they were, big, strong, and fast, and physical safeties that could intimidate, opponents, and they did. And it, I was thrilled that they were on my team, and I didn't have to play against them. But I think when you look at our safeties, Quentin Carter is a guy that's probably the thumper of the group, very physical from Oklahoma going into his second year, played well last year in his rookie year, and has done a lot of good things. He pulled a hamstring early in camp, so missed a lot of camp, but is back in full swing. And so, he's probably that thumper. I think when you look at the defense, what we want to do and how the safeties are going to get and be involved in the defense more in Jack Del Rio's defense, when I look at Jim Leonard, he's a guy with great instincts and smart. And with him in the middle of it and his ability to anticipate, I think you're going to see Jim make some big plays for us, as well as Mike Adams, who is veterans that are savvy and smart. And so when they get involved in that, when they can get involved in the pass game to be able to make those plays, which, to get turnovers on the defensive side is so important. When you look at, 80% of the games in the NFL are won by the team that wins a turnover ratio. And so to be able to get the ball and get turnovers is so important. And I think all those safeties have the ability to do that. You look at David Bruton, who's our fifth safety, but he's our number one guy on special teams, does a tremendous job. And if you watch him, the orange streak running down the field week in and week out that's out in front of everybody is David Bruton. And, he is our He is our special team stud and sets a great example for everybody.
Chad, thanks so much for calling. Like I said before, we've been to New York, we've been to Texas, we've been to New Mexico. Now we're going to go to California and Citrus Heights. Chris has been a season ticket holder since 1994 with a question for Matt. Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, first of all, congratulations. John, you've done a hell of a job, especially out here in Raider Nation. I hear nothing but bad news from you guys, but you guys are doing a great job. I got a question. With Keith Brookings, John sort of answered the question about Jim Leonard and hard-hitting safety brought in. Was Brookings brought in, do you think he still has time to play or a couple years to give, or is it more of veteran leadership?
Well, I think when you look at a guy like Keith, he's had a storied career. He's been to Pro Bowls. He's played 16 years. We evaluated the tape last year when Keith was at Dallas. Felt like he still has something to bring to the table and contribute to the team. I'll say this about, you know, all the veteran guys, and you know, you talk about smarts and leadership and, you know, presence in the locker room. Those things are all extremely important. It's something we place a lot of emphasis on. But the deciding factor is there's a lot of those guys out there that just can't play anymore. And a guy like Keith, he wouldn't be here if we didn't feel like he could contribute and get on the field and help us out. So what his role will be determined as we kind of move forward, simply because Keith had the hamstring and hadn't played a whole lot in the preseason. But we're going to get him back here, and he'll determine that role. But I think we all expect him to contribute. And but in terms of the other stuff, he's nothing but great around Dove Valley. He's going to teach these young guys how to prepare. You know, a 16-game season is a long season, and they call it the rookie wall. And, you know, 8-10 weeks into the season, a lot of those young guys can't believe they've got six more games left. And it's critical to have guys like Keith, guys like Jim Leonard, to teach those young guys how to prepare and kind of bring them along through the season. So he's an asset for us.
This is a great segue to our next question. Both you guys played, and our next question comes from Mike, who is in Boulder. He's been a season ticket holder since 1990. Mike, thanks so much for calling. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, John, add my kudos, of course, but, you know, one of the main things I noticed about you was in your 16-year career, you did not have too many injuries. I know that you had two kind of significant ones, but what do you think the key is to avoiding injury? You know, injuries are such a key to success.
Well, Mike, you know, I think the key thing is number one, you have to get a little bit lucky, and you have to have a football body. There is something to being said to have, being able to have a God-given football body, and that's the ability to take the pounding that the football dishes out to you. And there's other guys that are injury-prone that don't have the football body. But to me, number one, especially at the quarterback position, it's knowing how to fall. You know, if you know how to fall, because when you're in the pocket and you know they're breathing down your neck, the key thing for a quarterback to do is, once that ball is released and you know you're going to get hit, is not to fight it. You just have to relax and let them take you where you want them, where they want to take you. You know, that always worked for me to avoid that injury. Plus, and number two, I think, you know, the off-season programs. I spent a lot of time in the off-season and working and trying to put some bulk on, but also be strong, because it's, as Matt said earlier, it is a long season, and as time wears on, that strength, all it does is help you down the line to be able to take that punishment. So, to me, number one, it's knowing where your body is, and as a quarterback, being able to relax and let them take you where you want, and number two, it's the off-season work.
Matt, you played a couple of years in Detroit. You're on the other end of that. You know, what did you do maybe to keep yourself feeling a little better as time went on when you were playing?
Well, you know, John talked about having a football body. And, you know, for me, the wear and tear and probably playing that position, playing a lot of special teams, takes its toll on your body, especially late in the year. You know, John also touched on the kind of you have to have some luck and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so my two knee injuries – were probably a bit of bad luck, in my opinion. But, you know, durability in that is key to keeping your roster together and finishing good down the stretch late in the year.
Mike, thanks so much for calling. Our next question comes from Margarita here in Aurora, who's been a season ticket holder. It's her second year. His question is for Matt. Margarita, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, let me say I'm honored to speak with you, and thanks for doing this. I was wondering if you could comment on the release of Paxton and give us some insight on his replacement potential, Aaron Brewer.
Let me first say this about Lonnie. It was a great pleasure to have him here for the years that he was here. I was lucky enough to be with Lonnie in New England early in his career, and Lonnie's an excellent snapper. You know, when we cut down the roster, difficult decisions have to be made. Lonnie was getting older. We had a young guy in here, Aaron, who really did a good job snapping. He's an athletic guy. He's got good speed. He adds an element in coverage. He can get down the field, and he's disruptive down there, which is critical when you're talking about punts. I mean, that's really the most important down on football. So you need accuracy. Lonnie's extremely accurate. Aaron's extremely accurate. We like what Aaron brings to the table in terms of getting another guy down there, because the deeper you can pin that offense on that drive is a lot of times the difference in a ball game. So it was a tough decision for us. They all are, but we're extremely happy with Aaron. We think he's going to be a very good snapper for very many years to come.
Next question is for John. Thanks so much for calling, Margarita. I want to go to Daniel, who's been a season ticket holder since 1964. Daniel, thanks so much for calling. Go ahead with your question for John.
I actually haven't been the season ticket holder since 64. My grandfather bought the tickets in 64. They have been passed down to me since 1994. However, what my question is how we are approaching the defensive line. I know that we are generally using a 3-4, but what seems to be happening through the preseason is that we switch that up and we'll put as many as 7 men up on the line. Why is that, and do we think that that's going to work better for us?
Well, thanks for the call, Daniel. We'll give you credit since 1964, even though you took over in 1994. We'll give your family credit for the fact that you're all season ticket holders, and the Broncos appreciate your support. I think when you look at defensively, what we do defensively, it's all about being multiple and doing as many different things as you can that gives the offense a tough time. Now, sometimes you bring, you know, we'll have 7 guys in the box, and if we can stop the run with 7 guys in the box, we're doing a lot of good things. The hard thing to do is if people are moving the ball on you, you got to bring down that 8th guy into the box to stop that run, and that opens you up to the passing game. And so Jagged is multiple as far as the fronts. You know, I would think our base is a 4-man front, but then with Von Miller at the Sam linebacker, his ability to rush, we can change things up. 3rd down, we can go with 3 down linemen, and Von's more of a kind of a robber type, and moving him all over the place to make it difficult on the defense. And so, you know, our base defense is a 4-man line, and we will throw in, you know, some 3-man, some 3-4 stuff in there because we have the personnel to be able to do that.
Our next call comes from Ed in North Carolina, who's one of our fans on Facebook and also one of 7,500 people now participating on the call. Matt, Ed wants to stick with the defense. Ed, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing? This is Ed. All you want to know is we going to be able to fix the running game, I mean the stop run for the defense. I mean, our defense, another day in the Seattle game, we couldn't stop the run. I want to know if we're going to be able to stop it, and, you know, is it going to be a better year for us as far as stopping the run?
Well, it's certainly the plan. I think one thing we've got going for us, and we've touched on this, is the addition of Jack Del Rio. And Jack has been he's preached to these guys run fits, basically, which means that you have to be gap sound in defense. And if you've got guys duplicating, which means – you've got 2 guys in the A gap and 1 guy not in the B gap, that's where you get gashed. And so we're playing sound defense in practice. They're spending a lot of time on making sure everyone is assignment conscious. You know, we've been stout up front. We feel good about the players on defense. And it's not always just size, ability, and that. It's being mentally sound, being where you're supposed to be. And, again, that staff has done a great job with these guys and preaching not making mistakes and fitting where you're supposed to fit. And we're going to do some different things on defense that we're excited about. And we're going to play to our strengths, and we're going to match up with each team week in and week out. And we'll do different stuff like John just touched on. And so, you know, tough to say. I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you that the plan is to stop the run and hopefully be dominant in that phase.
Ed, thanks for calling. We want to once again thank the 7,500-plus callers who have called in. Still not too late to get a call in to Matt and John. Just hit *3 on your phone. John, our next question is for you. This comes from Jason in Minneapolis. Jason, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hi, John. First of all, congratulations on the offseason. Thank you very much for what you have brought to us so far. I've been a season ticket holder for 3 years now, and I have a I want to go back to the running backs with a question here. Willis McGahee, he's on the plus side of age 30 here. Just wanted to see what you were thinking as far as, you know, what his volume will be and what his workload will be in this particular season, if there's going to be plans on just utilizing him as a two-down back, if he'll see any third-down action.
For those of you who might not have heard Jason's question, he wants to ask John of his expectations on Willis McGahee's workload for this year. Sorry, John, go ahead.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Jason. I think when you look at our backs, I think we're excited about the group of backs that we do have. With Willis McGahee, Lance Ball, Knowshon Moreno, and Ronnie Hillman, we feel like we've really got a good set of backs. And I think the thing is, as you talked about with running backs, when they start to get a little bit older, you have to manage their workload, not only in practice but also in games. And so I think that we feel great about the depth there. So therefore, the last thing we want to do with Willis is wear him out. I think that, obviously he does a good job on first and second down. He's tremendous between the tackles, still has great feet, and is a big back at 240 pounds, and then has the ability at times to be able to break one. And then he does some good things on third down. But I think the important for things for us to do will continue to run him, but also manage him and make sure that we don't overuse him.
Jason, thanks for the call. And, again, we're talking to season ticket holders from across the United States. And for those of you that live in Colorado, know how difficult a summer it was here in Colorado regarding the forest fires. And Alex in Golden has a question about one of the Bronco players who was really out front and doing what he could to just kind of say thank you and do what he could for those who were affected by those fires. This question's for Matt. Alex, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, John. This is Alex Insko, and I am actually from a military family. And obviously we're Air Force fans because my dad, my brother, and brother-in-law went there. And I was wondering about Ben Garland and how, you know, if he'll move up from the practice squad to the team and what you think of him personally.
Well, Alex, let me first tell you that I'm from a military family too. So to have Ben Garland here, it's a tremendous honor for us to have a guy of his caliber, both on and off the field, from down the road at the Air Force Academy. I think what you saw in the community with Ben, when we're having the wildfires and his involvement in the community, really speaks volumes and kind of shows you exactly the type of person Ben is. In terms of Ben's ability, Ben has what we call a high motor. Ben plays hard, snap the whistle, and leaves everything on the field. And that's what we're looking for. Those are the kind of guys that really help you win on defense. And so, Ben spent a couple years out of football when he was fulfilling his duty, and he's back. He's got a lot of tools to work with. He wants to work. He was extremely excited when we put him on the practice squad. We'll see how he performs. Guys like that, you never know. They might get called up during the year. But he's excited to develop. He wants to play football. He loves the game. And we are extremely pleased to have him here and the kind of person he is on our football team.
Alex, thanks so much for calling. Great question. Our next question comes from Robert. He's been a season ticket holder for 41 years, and you'd be hard-pressed to get anyone downstairs to kind of talk about the Broncos are playing later on down the schedule. You always want to focus on the opponent you're preparing for that week. But Robert wants to talk about the schedule. Robert, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Matt. Hi, John.
Hi, Robert.
Hey. Great day today to talk to you. I know the Broncos are an improving team based on certainly our record last year, but how in the world did we get such a difficult schedule for this season?
Well, first of all, anytime you win your division, it's going to be a tough division because especially in the AFC, you're going to play the winners of the other two divisions, and that year this year that is New England as well as Houston. So those, by winning our division, those are the two we picked up. And it just comes down that, you know, we play the NFC South, which you have New Orleans, Carolina, Tampa, and Atlanta. And then in the AFC, we're playing the North, which is Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, Cleveland. And so it's just really kind of luck of the draw. But if you win your division, you're going to be playing other division winners outside of the division you play in the NFC as well as the division you play in the AFC. And so that's what happens. That's what the NFL does. That's why you have a lot of parity in the league, because the best teams are going to be playing the other best teams and vice versa. And that's why I think you see turnover and different people making playoffs year in and year out, because of the fact that people can have good years. So I think that's why the NFL is great, because the way that they try to keep every team has the ability to make the playoffs.
Robert, thanks so much for calling. And again, this is the Broncos Fan Forum live call. We got time for a couple more. If you want to ask a question, just hit *3 on your phone. We're taking calls from everywhere, believe it or not, even Oakland. That's where we're going to talk to Garrett, who is one of our Facebook fans. Garrett, thanks so much for calling. Go ahead with your question for John.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you. I wanted to just get some commentary on your insight to the locker room right now. How is this team gelling together, this new squad, Manning, but also other new guys? How's it coming together?
You know, I'm excited about the locker room. I think the locker room is probably as important as the talent that you have on your football team. And I think that the one thing that we've concentrated on over the last couple of years was to bring in quality guys that were going to be guys that fit in your locker room. And I think when I look back on my career and the years that we had great years, we always had a great locker room. And, you know, not everybody is going to be an angel in that locker room, but if your core group of guys is strong enough, then the guys that are on the outside, they'll fall in line, and therefore you don't have a bunch of little cliques in your locker room. And so we've got a good group of leaders, veterans on this team, with also some good young guys that are willing to listen and learn. And so I like the way the locker room is coming about. Peyton Manning, plus having Peyton Manning in there with the respect that he has throughout the league and also in that locker room, and having those guys see what a true Hall of Famer looks like in practice day in and day out. I think it's been a positive influence for everybody having Peyton in that locker room, plus just the quality of people we have down there.
And that's the chemistry, that's tangible, right, Matt? I mean, what indicates to you that there is good chemistry? How do you see that play out, whether it's watching players at practice or when you see them around the building getting ready for meetings? How do you see that?
Well, I think when you talk about a locker room, you're talking about guys from all over the country with different backgrounds, and you sit back and you watch those guys interact. And I think what's special is, we've got a ton of different personalities, and when you watch them interact with each other, be it on the field, in meetings, in the locker room, in the training room, at lunch, you really don't see any divisiveness. You typically can figure out pretty quickly if you've got a cancer in the locker room. Sometimes we call it a locker room lawyer. And we don't have that. And I think the guys we signed, when you talk about some of the veteran players, you know, we had Champ here, you know, we've got Clady here, we've got Mike Adams we signed. Peyton has really lifted everyone's level. And I think on both sides of the ball, they see what it takes to win and the work ethic and the leadership. And so really you just sit back and you observe. And I think we all feel very good about the chemistry we've got downstairs.
Garrett, thanks so much for the call. And right now everyone downstairs getting ready for Pittsburgh. We're just a few days away from the week one getting started. Our next question comes from Michael in Aurora. Michael, you want to talk about the Steelers game? Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, hey there, John. All y'all, really appreciate what you guys are doing for us. Looking forward to the future. In regards to the dreaded Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town, somebody whose butt I'm sure we're going to kick. Heard they got some injuries on their team. How can we best take advantage of that?
Well, thanks, Michael, for the call. The bottom line is we're going to have to go out and play. You know, I think that you can always look at You know, I think James Harrison had some had his knee scoped in the middle of August, and so he's questionable whether he's going to come back for the game. Mendenhall, they've said that most likely he's not going to be able to play with off-season knee surgery. So, but the bottom line is, I think when you look at any team, and especially if you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they haven't been dominant for as long as they've been dominant in good year in and year out, because they don't have good depth and players that can fill in when they have injuries. And so we just know that we have to be ready to go out and play the best football game that we can, you know, execute the way that we're able to. And so I don't think we look at them as being beat up. Mike Wallace just is back in camp for them, so they've got their weapon back. We just know that, especially after with what happened in the Pittsburgh game, the playoff game last year, that we're going to have to be ready, because they're going to come in here ready to play good football.
Next question is a great follow-up. Michael, thanks again for calling. Really appreciate it. This comes from Bronco Mary in St. Louis, who's been a season ticket holder since 1983. This question's for Matt. We're going to stick with the Steeler game. Bronco Mary, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, guys. Good to talk with you. I love what you're doing with this fan forum. This is just awesome. And, John, you gifted me with football. I love football because of you in 1983. And I even have a dog named after you. But his name's Elway. Meanwhile, how are we going to – what are some of the keys to taking home this first home game win?
Well, I think in football, you know, going all the way back to Pop Warner football, there are several things that stand out. You've got to win the turnover battle. Special teams are critical. Field position, all those things stay standard in football regardless of what level you play at. I think when you play a team like Pittsburgh, to be a little bit more specific, you look at pass rush, the ability to protect Peyton and give him time to get the ball off. I think defensively, you know, we've got to be a physical football team against Pittsburgh. They're going to want to run the ball. They're going to want to control the clock. And so our ability to get turnovers, to be a physical team, to out-hit them, to move them around on the front of the line, and really in a game like this, and really in any game, you want to dictate the pace of the game, and you want to dictate what happens and not have that dictated to you. And so those are some of the keys, I think, right there. Obviously, they've got a good quarterback, and we're going to have to keep him under control. But when I look at this game, the thing that stands out to me is in games like this, really the most physical team, as long as you accomplish those other things, controlling the ball, limiting turnovers, winning that battle, the turnover battle, those are the keys in a game like this.
Bronco Mary, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Calling from St. Louis, again, a season ticket holder. It's John's first year, 1983. We want to go back here to Denver to Michael. John, I think this might be a question a lot of folks on this call are really interested in hearing, the relationship that you have with Peyton Manning personally. Michael, go ahead with your call.
Hey, Matt and John. I want to thank you guys for taking time with us today. And thanks for your role in bringing Manning on. I still can't believe it, and just really excited and pumped for this season. My question is for John Elway, and I'm just wondering, you know, what's it like talking shop with another Hall of Fame quarterback? It's really exclusive fraternity, and I want to know if you've been able to share any insights with Peyton and if you've learned anything from talking to him.
Well, I think that I've not spent time with Peyton on the board. Obviously, since he's got here, he's been full-time with Mike McCoy, our offensive coordinator, and Adam Gase, the quarterback coach, and really trying to blend in what we do as an offense and what we've done as an offense here the last few years, and blend that with what Peyton has done in Indianapolis, and be able to blend those two offenses together to where we didn't have to change our terminology for our guys, but also get the things in the offense that that Peyton enjoys. And so I didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time on the board with Peyton because they were in the process of getting to know each other. But the thing I know about Peyton Manning, and the time I've played golf with him a couple times, and I will say this, it's a unique feeling to be able to be a part of the quarterback fraternity. I will tell you one thing, it's unique when you get in situations, and I – Don't get to spend a lot of time with other quarterbacks, whether it be a Peyton Manning or even a Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, the Warren Moon, the Boomer Esiason, those guys back in my era. There was always a special time when you got to spend time around it because you really felt like you connected with them because you knew the battles that they went through. You knew how they thought, how they had to think when they played the game of football. And so there's a unique bond there. We played golf with Peyton. I played golf with Peyton, and his dad Archie came in, and we played at Cherry Hills earlier this year. And we're sitting down after the round for about a couple hours and really just talked football. And it was one of those times that I look back and I'll remember it always because of the fact that you have that bond because of the mindset of quarterbacks and knowing that they have looked at the world from within that pocket, which a lot of people haven't looked at, which is at times can be pretty scary. But to know the different things that go on and how quarterbacks think, there's something to that. And so to be able to play golf with Peyton and even Archie, to be able to sit there for a couple hours and have a couple Coors Lights was pretty special.
Michael, thanks again for your call. It's a great question. We have about 5 minutes left on today's Fan Forum live call, and this next one comes from Gary in Canton, who follows the Broncos on Facebook. And we've been talking a little bit about how the Pittsburgh game is coming up, but if you watched the Arizona Cardinal game, the last preseason game, you saw a piece of history. It was the longest return of any sort that the Broncos have seen. It was by Omar Bolden. Gary's got a question about the return game, Matt. Gary, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Gary. I'm from Canton, Ohio, home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I was just wondering who our Devin Hester could be on our team. Who's going to be stand out as our primary kick returner and punt returner?
Well, Gary, right now...
I'm going to say this, Gary. There's only one Devin.
That's exactly where I was going next, Gary. That's a tough comparison right there. So, you know, there's only one of those that comes down the road every 10 or so years. So, you know, being realistic with you, it's very encouraging to see what Omar did against Arizona that night. Showed good speed, hit it up in there. And we've got Jim Leonard... he's looking at returning some punts for us. We've got Matt Willis in the mix. So we've got competition there, and really that's all you can ask for, is for those guys to step up and seize that job. So, it's tough to make the Devin Hester comparisons, but we feel good about the guys we have here. They're competing for it. They'll continue to compete this week. And I think what you see on the field, you'll be happy with when it's time to put the pads on and go to work on Sunday.
We're going to stick with the young player theme, go from Omar Bolden to Derek Wolfe. This next question comes from Jeff up in Billings, which is Broncos country. He's been a season ticket holder for 5 years. Jeff, thanks so much for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. The obvious congratulations on bringing in Peyton Manning, but I wanted to recognize you guys for really hitting a home run on your first selection in the last 2 years' drafts. Von Miller is just exciting to watch. And Derek Wolfe just seems like he really – really has a good motor on him. Was that an easy pick for you guys this year? Or did you have a few guys on your board when that selection came up?
Well, when we went with Derek, we knew we needed to bolster the defense. And he was sitting there staring us in the face. We felt like that was really good value there to get a top-flight defensive lineman like him. He's had a very good preseason. What you saw in college, we've already seen here, a guy with relentless effort. Plays hard every snap, very versatile. We can put him down inside. We can kick him outside, which is where he's playing now, at the left defensive end spot, which is critical to stopping the run. He's very strong. So in looking at that pick, they're rookies, and so they've still got a lot to prove. But Derek's done everything we've asked of him since he's been here. He has not practiced like a rookie. He came here with a purpose. He wants to contribute. He's a winner. You can trust him. He gets in his playbook. He knows his assignments. So in looking at the pick right now, you know, roughly 3-4 months out of the draft, we couldn't be happier.
Jeff, thanks so much for the call. And we want to thank everyone for participating on today's Broncos Fan Forum live call. We have time for one more, and I think it's awfully appropriate. Marlena's calling in from California. She's a Facebook fan of the Broncos. John Marlena wants to talk about the atmosphere, the electricity that she hopes she'll see this week as the Broncos start the 2012 regular season. Marlena, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. basically, I do live near Oakland, and the atmosphere is always kind of rough, to say the least, going into there. So I was just wondering how it is for you guys actually playing. Like, how much does the crowd play into it, whether it be negative or positive?
Well, Marlena, thanks for the call. I think that having played here in Denver for 16 years, that it is a huge bonus for us to be able to play here. The crowd, the excitement of the game. Anytime you go into a game that is like the one we're going into Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that you know is going to be a good football team, everyone's excited about seeing Peyton Manning, and the players are excited about playing and getting going because there's been a lot of buildup. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk since March when Peyton came on board, and then we went through the draft and the free agency, and so you go through training camp. So until and then now, you know, training camp and then preseason. So until you finally get to that regular season game, I mean, that as a player is what you're looking forward to. And to be able to open up at home, we've got tremendous fans in the Rocky Mountain region, not only here in Colorado, but throughout the whole region that have supported this organization for a long, long time. And there's not a better feeling to get out there and play that 60 minutes and hopefully come away with a win. And so that is what, as ex-players, as Matt I'm sure would tell you, those are the things that we miss. We miss being able to run out on these home openers, and the excitement that will be in this game is something that we always miss. But it's nice to be a part of it. We're looking forward to Sunday night. We appreciate everybody calling in and everybody being on this phone call. The Denver Bronco organization is thrilled with not only, being a part of this community, but the support that we get from the community as well as the Rocky Mountain region. And I can tell you as a player, there's not a better place to be. There's not a better organization. We've got the best owner in the NFL. And you're going to see an exciting football game on Sunday night. I'm hoping that we'll come out on top. We got to get off to a fast start. We got 3 out of the first 4 at home. And so we're looking forward to getting started. And just, again, appreciate all your support.
Marlena, I know you and the rest of the Broncos fans out there can agree and are excited, too. We want to thank the 8,000 of you that joined today's call. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about how the call went, you can give us feedback at denverbroncos.com/fanforum. For John Elway, Matt Russell, I'm Chris Hall. Thanks so much for taking the time and joining us this afternoon.